This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we are going to be revisiting the second Royal Rumble in 1989. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. The first one was like a television special, and I believe this is our first one pay-per-view, so I'm guessing that this one's going to be a little bigger, a little better.
Yeah, the first one, the Royal Rumble match, wasn't even the main event of the show. It was kind of an odd. It was like a TV special, almost like a, I don't want to say an episode of Raw, but you know what I mean. It was just very odd. They had little segments. They had a contract signing with Andre and Hogan.
It was just a terrible segment with Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, I think that was the show that we saw him lifting weights.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't full of only matches similar to what you would get at a normal pay-per-view. It was full of just different little segments. So I'm looking forward to this, seeing how the Royal Rumble match evolves. I'm really, really curious when they start awarding the Royal Rumble winner a title shot at WrestleMania. I don't think it happens until around 93, but I could be wrong. But I'm very, very curious to see when that starts, when that becomes the prestigious prize. Because obviously Hacksaw Jim Duggan did not receive a WrestleMania match after the first Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious if they're giving anything to the winner other than saying, hey, I won the Royal Rumble.
Similar to the King of the Ring, you're just the King of the Ring.
Yeah. Well, at least with the King of the Ring, they give him like a scepter and a crown, and they at least make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, so be very interesting to see how this one goes down. Like we have said in the past, we've watched probably, you know, we mostly know the history of WrestleMania. We've seen all those, or at least I've seen all those. But as for the other ones, I haven't really watched these. So I didn't really do my research to find out, you know, who's won this ahead of time, you know.
Yeah, we want to be surprised too.
When we start getting into the WrestleMania main event, You win the match, you get the main event. You know, it's kind of easy to know who the Royal Rumble winners are at that point. But before that, I'm not 100% sure if I know who all the other Royal Rumble winners are. So this will be very interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Are we ready to go to the first match?
Yeah, let's check it out.
Let's go.
Okay, so the first match of the night is a 6-man 2 out of 3 falls match. It was Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Hart Foundation, which is Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, versus Dino Bravo and the Fabulous Rougeaus, Jacques and Raymond Rougeau, with Frenchie Martin, Jimmy Hart in their corner. And I'll tell you what, already head over heels, this first match has promised that this Royal Rumble is going to be so much better than the first. Now, I know the first wasn't technically a pay-per-view. It was like a television special. But this match was really fun. It had a lot of great spots. 2 out of 3 matches. Each team got their one pin fall until the Hart Foundation and Jim Duggan won the match with the third fall. I loved the 6-man battering ram that went on. You had the 3 guys in the corner, and you had the Hart Foundation and Jim Duggan all doing what Jim the Anvil Neidhart usually does, his little battering ram into the corner of the ropes. All 6 of them involved in that. There was some high-flying stuff that Jacques did to Bret Hart, the Rougeaus did to Bret Hart to get their first fall. This was a great match.
This was a lot of fun. I agree. This is the first time I've watched the Ragu Brothers and actually didn't hate them. I might even call them the right name, the Rougeau Brothers. There was that moment where he had Bret Hart in a submission, and the other brother came in and gave him some smacks on his face. I mean, there was some fun spots to this one.
Yes, and then the ending was just kind of a little bit shocking, just based off they were the baby faces of the match. Jim Duggan used the 2x4 to hit Dino Bravo in the back to get the final fall.
Rage, how can you justify this? I mean, Hacksaw cheated. He cheated. He attacked Dino Bravo with that 2x4.
Hey, any means necessary, right?
Whoa. You keep yelling at me for justifying it, but you're going to let him get away with it? That's bullshit, Rage.
Hey, they had to do what they had to do. The team of Raju and the Dino Bravo, they just were – they constantly were breaking the rules throughout the match. They finally got their comeuppance at the end.
Did you see that smug look on his face? Hacksaw Jim Duggan, he's just like whistling away with the freaking 2x4 behind his back. I mean, it's just absolute ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but I think that's just Jim Duggan's face.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's how he looks all the time. That's just what Jim Duggan looks like.
That's why the only word he knows is ho.
I think there's maybe a secret meaning to that. Maybe he's talking to his girlfriend out in the crowd.
His girlfriend?
Wife? I don't know. I don't want to disrespect the man's wife. I hope it's just his mistress.
His personal prostitute.
Oh!
There he did it again. Oh my gosh. I'm so proud. Yeah, and this had all the... well, no. Actually, Jim Duggan is the only American in this match. Everyone else is Canadian.
You know what? And I'd like to point out how great Bret, you know, while doing this podcast, I'm a Shawn Michaels fan. I've always kind of had a little bit of a disdain for Bret Hart, but I've always had that respect. I know he's one of the greatest. I just don't like sometimes his attitude. You know, I think he's kind of a sore loser, whatever. Okay. So
you don't like regardless, the fact that he says that he's the best there is?
No, not that.
The best
I just,
there was.
Anyhow. I've got my qualms about Bret Hart, but I will say he did some things in this match that really, really pointed out why he was so great. So there was a moment in the match where Dino Bravo went to clothesline Bret Hart. Bret Hart, I believe, was supposed to duck and miss the clothesline. But somehow he didn't get low enough, not sure the exact what happened there. He could have easily kept playing it off like he got the duck and finished with his move. But instead, what Bret Hart did is Dino Bravo's arm tapped the top of Bret Hart's head. You could tell it didn't look like a moment that was supposed to happen. It wasn't planned that way. Bret Hart had the ring awareness to drop down, not like he got clotheslined, but more like holding the top of his head and falling because he treated it like Dino Bravo's arm hurt the top of his head. He did not ignore the tap in the top of the head.
Or sell the moves incorrectly.
Or sell the move incorrectly, exactly. It just showed me during this match, because we got a lot of Bret Hart in this match. They played the role of Bret Hart.
Is this the first time Bret Hart's won a match?
Since we've been doing the podcast?
It seems like he loses all the time.
It's very possible. I'd have to go back and look. But the point that I'm trying to make is I'd say the majority of the wrestlers out there would have probably ignored that he got tapped at the top of the head and would have continued wrestling.
Yeah, they would have sold the move.
Bret Hart had the ring awareness to react to what had happened. And it looked awkward at first, but then I just sat there and watched it, and I was like, wow, you know, that was kind of interesting to see. And I believe, you know, things like that is what made him so great.
I think we've mentioned a few times on the show is our favorite, you know, we like sales. We like people who can sell properly. And that's a hell of a sell.
You know, and I don't know which one it was of the Russo brothers. It's hard to keep it's hard to keep track of which one's in the ring, which name it is. But I will say that one of them sold an Atomic Drop by Bret Hart amazingly, because that is how I think I would react if I had a knee in between my legs, too. Because he definitely laid there on the ground shaking like mommy crying, you know. He definitely sold that move very well. Very, very good sell on that move, Mr. Raju, whichever one you were.
Oh, well, he rubbed it out on, was it Jim Duggan later on?
Oh, my gosh. There was definitely a moment in the match that we thought it was it was entering the Attitude Era a little early. Little adult-oriented move going on.
Belonged on Pornhub.
Dear Lord, it was questionable at best. And Bret Hart was involved in that, too. So, okay. All right, so let's go ahead. So far, this Royal Rumble looks to be promising. I can't wait to see what more we have in store for this show. Another thing you brought up, Blaze, is at the very beginning of the show, they just named off superstar after superstar after superstar. And then they mentioned we are getting the 30-man Royal Rumble on this show as opposed to the 20-man we got in the last one. So we're already at 30-man Royal Rumble in this show. But something we saw is they kept naming off superstar after superstar. We believe those were the participants of the Royal Rumble match. Now, some of them names that we noticed was Bret Hart, was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So it does make you wonder if they're going to be playing double duty in this show.
Well, I mean, it's possible we were wrong because that it was the participants. Maybe they were just saying
these are the superstars you're going to see tonight. So we're very interested to see who's going to be involved in the Royal Rumble, because we've already seen Bret Hart. We've already seen Jim Duggan.
And if I'm not mistaken, like nowadays, very rarely do you do double duty. If you're not in the Royal Rumble, if you're in a match before the Royal Rumble, you're normally not in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and the roster is so big today in WWE.
That's
though.
True. It's and they have a whole roster on SmackDown, on NXT, on Raw. So you know you have participants from all three brands, and so yeah, it's a lot different today, but. So I'll be interested to see if they do some double duty.
Yeah, I'm curious too. Duty. So it would be surprising though that they named all them names off and they wouldn't be in the Royal Rumble. So, but like we said, it might be these are the people you're going to see tonight. But we've never seen them start a show with, hey, guess what? You're going to see boom, 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 everybody.
And we had Vince announcing every single one of them.
now
we didn't count to see if that was 30 people.
Yeah, they just kept rattling off names.
There was a lot of people.
And it wasn't just your big name wrestlers either. It wasn't just your Hulk Hogan, your Macho Man. Although I don't think I saw Hulk Hogan named.
Now, you know, I also wonder is, are we going to get to see any surprises? And if they were to have any surprises, would it be like someone like Mr. T?
I don't know. You mean like legend wrestlers back in 1989? Are we going to have?
Jesse the Von Ventura is not wrestling. He could be a legend wrestler at this time.
Fair enough.
Bruno Sammartino, he could be considered a legend wrestler because we haven't been seeing him wrestle. We've seen him as a manager. They could still have some surprises.
Oh, well, let's see if we're going to be surprised. Let's go ahead and check it out. Okay, so before the next match, we get a kind of a comical thing going on. We've got Ted DiBiase grabbing his number for the Royal Rumble. He doesn't seem too pleased with it. He calls Slick over. He's like, hey, how's your guys' number? Let's talk. So it looks like he's about to buy a number. So very Ted DiBiase-like. And then we get other wrestlers constantly grabbing numbers, and actually, the majority of them seem to like it. So I'm guessing they all seem to get numbers, I guess.
I don't know if you can say the Bushwhackers were just happy with whatever.
Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, you know, if I was a $1 million man and I was a rich man, I'd be buying my number.
So anyhow, so we got these numbers, they're drawn and everything, and then we move on to the WWF Women's Championship match. This is the champion Rockin' Robin versus the challenger Judy Martin. But before the match starts, we get Sensational Sherry in the ring basically saying that she's more women than the two of them combined and that she should be the next women's champion. So we go ahead and she goes on to commentating, and her commentating was actually better than the match. Now, not that the match was bad, it just wasn't special. There was no botch.
The ending was kind of cool, but
yeah, there was a little fake out crossbody, and this is the 80s where a crossbody can win a match.
So, right.
So the match was decent. It just wasn't nothing to write home about. But then the real fun of this match was Sensational Sherry on the mic.
Yeah, she was fun.
Yeah, she was commentating with Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura, and it was just a fun little, you know, she constantly had things to say, called both of these women fat when neither one of them are fat at all.
Judy Martin is not, you know.
Well, she's no spring chicken, but she's not fat. But anyhow, she's sitting there calling. She called Rockin' Robin fat, and look how small Rockin' Robin
is. Yeah, Rockin' Robin is a very small girl. And I cannot believe the ages of these women.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that the one of the women was 34. The other one, I believe, was 25. And they look like they're in now, their 50s.
Rockin' Robin looked
okay.
She looked 30s, maybe, but she didn't look 25. She didn't look like she was just out of high school.
Well, 25 is not just out of high school.
I mean, ish.
Okay. So anyhow, this obviously wasn't as exciting as the first match, but it wasn't horrible. It just wasn't special.
It wasn't offensive.
Well, they did call it the ladies' championship when they announced her instead of the women's
championship. Well, actually, I take that back. That title is offensive. It is a really small and terrible-looking title.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and keep it going. Okay, so the next thing we get is a little segment with Slick and the Twin Towers, where he gets asked about the incident that had happened earlier in the night with Ted DiBiase, asking him about his number. Slick obviously denies it, and then they show him the video clip. And then Slick's like, stay out of my business.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if this is like setting up for Slick sold one of their numbers without telling them, and like one of them is going to get mad at Slick, and this is going to be like a breakup of sorts.
Yeah,
I'm curious what this is going. Like, they didn't really make much of a reaction.
Yeah, neither one of them made a reaction. Matter of fact, Akeem just started. He just kept dancing like he. That's all he knew to do. And Big Boss Man kept hitting his nightstick up against his hand, like totally oblivious to the conversation that was going on. They just kind of was posing for some reason. It was kind of awkward.
I feel like something's about to happen with that.
So then the next thing we get isn't even a match at all. What we do get is Mean Gene Okerlund announcing that we are going to have a super pose down.
Yeah. Super pose down.
And it's kind of a funny little segment, but what we get is we get Ravishing Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan out there versus the Ultimate Warrior in a super pose down. So what this is they're just flexing their muscles.
Yeah, you know what? Last Royal Rumble, we had that terrible Dino Bravo weightlifting segment. At least this was somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, it was more entertaining than the weightlifting.
Because you had some heel. You got Ravishing Rick Rude being a heel, you know, bragging and all this other stuff. And you have Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, you know, he's getting angry. So, you know, what does the one do when they get angry?
Mumbles and flexes his muscles.
Yeah, he grunts angrily.
And the sad thing is Ultimate Warrior definitely has bigger muscles, but he wasn't doing it in your traditional I'm posing way. He's just doing it like, rawr, rawr. Where Ravishing Rick Rude is doing it slowly and meticulously, you know, trying to show himself off it. Anyhow, this ended in confrontation, like everything happens in wrestling, where Ravishing Rick Rude hits the Ultimate Warrior in the back of the head with his flexing bar or whatever you call that. But before that, Bobby the Brain Heenan sprayed oil in the Ultimate Warrior's face. So this ended in confrontation, which I think we all knew it was going to. But it was a, I guess, a funny-ish segment. I'm hoping these two are in the Royal Rumble later and we get to see them battle.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be setting up for some Royal Rumble action. They're going to be feuding. You know how it is with the Royal Rumble. You normally have, you know, wrestlers that feud, they always see each other in the ring. And, you know, one of them takes the other one out, you know.
Yeah.
You build up feuds in these Royal Rumbles to kind of build up a match for WrestleMania. So,
Speaking of WrestleMania, we also get a promo. Well, not a promo. We get an advertisement for WrestleMania 5.
Yeah. It's starting to pick up.
Yeah, they're starting to build it up, kind of making a big deal out of WrestleMania. Starting with this year, it seems like the first time we've seen them do that, really advertise for WrestleMania. So this is definitely showing that Royal Rumble is definitely the build-up to WrestleMania.
The road to WrestleMania, one might say.
Okay, so hopefully the next segment, maybe we'll get a match. We'll see what we get. Okay, so before the next match, we get a couple promos from managers. We get
interviews.
Interviews. You get one from Mr. Fuji. Then you get a Miss Elizabeth one, which was very interesting because Mean Gene was asking her, who you rooting for in this match? Is it Hogan or is it Savage? And she's like, oh, I hope it don't come to that. You know, little old me don't want to make a decision, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then we get, after that, we get Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart, yeah.
So now that those are out of the way, next thing we get is we get Jesse the Body Ventura kind of show sitting in a crown, kind of promoting the next match that we've got King Haku.
He was sitting in a crown?
Sitting in a throne. I apologize. Sitting in a
he was sitting on a crown. It was very pointy and painful.
So he's kind of building up the next match. The next match is against King Haku versus King Harley Race, or former King Harley Race. And apparently Bobby the Brain Heenan is the manager of both these wrestlers. King Haku comes out with an elaborate entrance. He gets carried out to the ring by four guys on a throne. So this is about the most elaborate entrance I think we've seen so far.
And then we get, right afterwards, King Harley Race comes down on a mission and just goes down and throws him off that throne.
Yeah, he knocks him off his high horse. So this match was kind of littered with a bunch of botches.
I don't even know if I call all of them botches. Like, this was just a lazy, terrible match. Like, the moves, it looks like they put no power into them. They just looked like they were lazily doing everything.
It is against two kings.
Fair enough. I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, even the pile driver, I believe it was Harley Race, does on Haku, just like he just sat.
Yeah, the best move out of this whole match was a super kick to end the match, because it ended the match.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it was a pretty good super kick. Harley Race was pretty good. But there was a lot of just unnecessary flopping by Harley Race.
Yeah.
Awkwardly falling out of the ring when I don't even think he got hit.
You know, I love a good sell, but none of these were good sells. Like, they didn't seem to fit the move.
The best part, in my opinion, of this match was hearing Bobby the Brain Heenan, every time one of the wrestlers was in the offensive, cheering on that wrestler, because he manages both guys. So he'd be like, come on, Haku, you got him, you got him. And then when Harley Race would get the get the upper hand. He'd like, there you go. I knew you could do it, Harley Race. I knew you could do it. We got this. So that was probably the best part of the match, was Bobby the Brain Heenan literally going back and forth on who he wanted to win because he manages both guys.
I'm glad you found something good about this match, because I really didn't find much.
Well, it was that entertained me more than the match, similar to the Sensational Sherry entertaining me on the mic more than the women's match.
I will say this. I can already tell you right now that was probably my worst match of the night.
Spoiler alert.
Huh? It beats that women's match, because the women's match wasn't offensive. It just was, it was boring. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. This was a bad match.
Yeah, these two did not work well together at all.
No. I mean, if you're not going to sell doing a move, let alone... No, Harley tried to sell taking a move, but he did it terribly.
And he did it overly too sometimes, to where I don't even think he got hit and he's flopping out of the ring. And we even noticed at the end of the match, after he lost, to leave the ring, he did not get hit or nothing. But to leave the ring, he flopped out of the ring again.
Yeah, it was just bad.
Just to leave the ring.
It was just, now, both Honky Tonk Man and Million Dollar Man both kind of oversell moves, but they do them with style. They take the move and it fits. It's an oversell, but it fits what's happening to them. And that just wasn't the case with Harley Race.
Absolutely not. This was just, like you said, it was a sloppy match. It was just kind of, it was two guys that just didn't work well together, I think.
Yeah, this was terrible. And I know Haku's a decent wrestler, but this was bad.
Okay. Okay, so right before the Royal Rumble is about to start, we get a slew of interviews. I mean, we're talking from anybody and everybody that's in the Royal Rumble match. We're talking about the Powers of Pain. We're talking about Macho Man Randy Savage. We're talking about Hulk Hogan, who, it was very interesting. Hulk Hogan laid it out there that if it becomes him and Randy Savage in the ring together, he has no problem making sure he knows who the true champ is. And one thing funny, we also had an Andre the Giant, and we had Brainbusters, and Andre and Hogan both said something that was very interesting to me. They both claim they've never been beaten in the ring before, both in the same promo, and they both beat each other in the ring. That's how Hogan lost the title. He lost to Andre. That's how Andre lost at WrestleMania. It's just kind of interesting to see that both men claim to be undefeated.
Well, okay, in fairness, I'm gonna argue this a little bit. I get what you're saying here. But Andre claims that Hogan never beat him, that it was not that he beat Hogan, remember? It was a whole controversy.
I remember.
So in Andre's eyes, he never got beat by Hogan. And Hulk Hogan, he lost his match and lost the title, but then the title got stripped afterwards. So I guess.
But he lost the match.
He did lose the match.
It's just kind of interesting to me that in both promos on the same show, you've got two guys that have faced each other and two guys that have beat each other, both claiming to be unbeaten in the WWF.
But as Hogan says, all the Hulkamaniacs recognize him as the champ.
All right. So we're not going to go through and unpackage all these little promos, because there was a lot of them. So we're going to go ahead and get to what we really are excited about seeing, and we're going to move on to the Royal Rumble match. Are you ready for this?
I am ready for this.
30 men enter, only one comes out victorious. I'm excited to see who it is. Let's do this thing. Okay, so now is the time we have been waiting for. It is the time for the Royal Rumble match. We get entrant number one, from the team, Demolition, is Axe. And entrant number two from the team, Demolition, Smash. Now, these two, they could have stood there. They could have waited for the next guy to come out. That's not what they do. They like to fight. They start pummeling each other.
They don't even wait till the bell rings. They're just like, let's fight.
Smash runs in, starts punching, throwing blows. Axe returns the favor. It's very interesting. They're a tag team, but they decided to go at each other right away. So then number three, and here's where the fun starts, Andre the Giant. He comes out, and now it's Demolition versus Andre. And Andre was kind of beating the crap out of him for a few minutes there when it was just Andre versus Demolition.
Yeah.
So I believe Andre eliminated Smash before our next entrant, didn't he?
No.
No?
It was after the next entrant.
Oh, okay. So our next entrant, number four, was Mr. Perfect. And after he comes in, Smash gets eliminated by Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Okay. And, of course, there's a theme here. Literally everybody that has came in the ring so far has went after Andre the Giant. It's a big team-up, pretty much. So we got our next guy, Ronnie Garvin. He comes out and, of course, goes after Andre. Everybody's after Andre. So far, this Royal Rumble has been Andre versus everybody.
You're not wrong.
So then we get Greg the Hammer Valentine. He's number six entrant. And while he is in the ring, I believe we lose Ronnie Garvin by Andre the Giant.
Yeah, he just tosses him out.
So then number seven comes out, and here's where some fun begins. Jake the Snake Roberts comes out, and apparently he is feuding right now with Andre the Giant. So he goes straight after Andre, but that did not end well for him either.
Nope, Andre throws him out too.
Okay, so then our next entrant is the Outlaw Ron Bass with a cleanly shaven head, thanks to Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And then we get number nine, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, even though he's not really the Heartbreak Kid yet. Still a member of the Rockers at this point.
He's still breaking hearts.
Have we had any other eliminations at this point?
Mr. Perfect.
We're missing somebody. Nope, we said Jake Snake Roberts got eliminated.
Yep.
Okay, so the fourth elimination is
Mr. Perfect. It's thrown. He throws out Axe.
So Demolition is over the shoulder. Yeah. So Demolition is gone, and this is the first time anybody has eliminated anybody other than Andre the Giant.
Yeah, and so far none of these eliminations have been anything special. No special moves, anything like that. It's mostly been Andre just grabbing him, tossing him. Grabbing, tossing, and Mr. Perfect's was a little different where they were kind of, Mr. Perfect was up against the ropes, and he kind of is able to grab Axe and toss him over his shoulder. There was a couple cool spots with Mr. Perfect and Shawn Michaels. Mr. Perfect threw Shawn Michaels over, and it looked like he went out, but he saved himself, and then the same thing happened with Mr. Perfect.
Well, Shawn Michaels drop kicked him.
Yeah.
And it looked like Mr. Perfect was going to go out. Of course, he saved himself. So now we're at number 10, Bushwhacker Butch. And then that is where we are so far. We've got 10 men entered. Only, six in the ring right now? We've had four eliminations. So we got six men in the ring right now, 10 entrants, four eliminations. And we'll see where it goes from there.
All right.
Okay, so immediately after Bushwhacker Butch gets in the ring, we get kind of a nice little Andre the Giant eliminating himself due to the fact that Jake the Snake Roberts and Damian come out into the ring, and he shows the snake to Andre, and Andre says, I'm getting out of here. goes right over the top ropes and hightails it out of there.
So is that a elimination for Damian or Andre?
Well, I mean, Andre or Jake's already been eliminated. Damian wasn't in the Royal Rumble, so I guess Andre eliminates himself. So he is capped out at 4 eliminations.
That's correct.
So then the next guy we get in there is the Honky Tonk Man, followed by Tito Santana, Bad News Brown, Marty Jannetty. So now the Rockers are in there together. And then number 15 is the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple eliminations. Butch and Tito working together to take out the Honky Tonk Man.
Uh-huh.
And then we had the Rockers do a double drop kick to take out Ron Bass. This is probably, well, this is a tie between Damian taking out Andre, and that was probably the coolest elimination of the show so far.
Okay.
Macho Man, when he comes in, he takes out Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Okay.
All right, keep going.
Okay, so the next entrant is half of the Brain Busters, Arn Anderson. Then the next guy to come out is his tag team partner, Tully Blanchard. Number 18 is Hulk Hogan. Then we got number 19, Bushwhacker Luke. And then Coco Beware, entrant number 20.
Yeah, and we had Macho and Arn Anderson working together to take Sean out with a double elbow. That one had to hurt. I meant for you.
You love Sean. Yeah, I love Sean. He will get his chance to win the Royal Rumble later down in his career.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Tully Blanchard, I'm going to give him the elimination there. He takes out Marty Jannetty. This was an interesting elimination because Tully and Arn Anderson worked together quite a bit trying to get Marty Jannetty out of the ring. And Marty just, like, holds on. First, he's doing a handstand trying to stop them from pushing him out. And then he gets his feet on the ropes to try to keep him from coming out. And then somebody attacks Arn Anderson, but Tully Blanchard manages to push Marty Jannetty out the rest of the way. As soon as Hogan comes in, he tosses out Mr. Perfect pretty quick. Then Macho and Arn Anderson take out Tito Santana, and they don't show it. They talk about it. They say, oh, hey, is Tito out?
Yeah, it was kind of off camera. I don't know how the camera didn't catch that, but we didn't get to see that elimination.
And then Bad News and Hogan work together to take out Butch Bushwhacker.
So that's where we stand as of right now.
As of right now, that's where we stand.
So we've got 20 entrants, and who knows how many people left in the ring at this point.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 people eliminated so far.
So we got maybe 7 guys in the ring left.
That's correct.
Okay, so let's keep moving on with this Royal Rumble match. Okay, so after Coco Beware comes out, this is kind of where Hogan just starts literally cleaning house.
Yeah, first Hogan takes out Coco Beware. Then he takes out Luke Bushwhacker. Then he does a clothesline to both Brain Busters and takes both of them out. Then the Warlord comes down.
And he kind of stands on the top of the apron, you know, with his arms out, just kind of acting like he's a badass. And then as soon as he walks through the ropes, here comes Hogan to meet him with the clothesline, and he's eliminated immediately.
Yeah, his time inside the Royal Rumble was less than what Rach just brought up.
Yeah, it took me longer to tell you what happened
so we got
than
our,
to actually see him get eliminated.
So we got our really quick exit, entrance and exit. Then he just continues with the cleaning house. He clothesline, or he takes out Bad News Brown and Macho Man. at the same time, which, you know, this causes a little bit of a riff.
Right. Macho Man is not very happy with this. He comes in, kind of puts his fingers in the face of Hogan, and he definitely is not happy he gets eliminated. But they end up working things out before Macho Man finally decides to leave the ring when our next person comes out, and that is the Big Boss Man.
Yep.
So, Big Boss Man comes in there, followed by Akeem at number 23, and then that's the Twin Towers are there, and they do a two-on-one with Hogan and everything, and then they actually eliminate Hogan.
Well, Brutus Barber Beefcake comes out next after that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Brutus Barber Beefcake comes out before they eliminate Hogan.
Yeah, and they work together, and they toss out Hogan. And then, Hogan gets, a little pissy.
He was not happy.
And he pulls down the ropes and takes out Big Boss Man while being exited.
So how many eliminations for Hogan then?
Hogan has 9.5.
Oh, you're still doing halves?
Well, yeah, he had 9 eliminations by himself. And then there was one time he worked with someone else to take someone out.
Okay. So that's Hogan's end, and I don't think anybody's going to be able to top that. I don't think there's enough competitors left in the ring to top that.
Yeah, so. Hogan is probably definitely our number one person this Royal Rumble for most eliminations.
Okay, so... The next wrestler to come out is the Red Rooster. Then we get the Barbarian. Then we get Big John Studd, Hercules, Rick Martel. And then the final entrant is, of course, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, which we obviously seen at the beginning of the show or in the middle of the show. He bought his number.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase eliminates Red Rooster with a pretty cool Irish whip to the corner, and then Red Rooster just kind of rolls out after that. It was pretty cool elimination. Then we have DiBiase and Barbarian tossing out both Hercules and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And then Rick Martel drop kicks the Barbarian out.
And then now we are down to our final four, which is Rick Martel, Ted DiBiase, Big John Studd, and Akeem. Okay, so we are down to our final four, and almost, I wouldn't say almost immediately, but pretty quickly, we get another elimination. Rick Martel is eliminated by Akeem.
Yeah, Akeem body slams him out of the ring.
And then we're down to the three men in the ring, two heels, one face. So you get some little fun thing going on with Ted DiBiase pretty much trying to order Akeem to beat up Big John Studd, you know, and he's kind of sitting there like, hey, you know, hammer him. Well, while he's doing this, Big John Studd grabs Ted DiBiase while Akeem is trying to do an avalanche in the corner, and he pulls him in front of him, and Akeem gets Million Dollar Man in the avalanche. And due to this frustration or confusion, Big John Studd eliminates Akeem immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
So that was a fun little spot. So now we're down to our final two, which is Ted DiBiase and Big John Studd.
Yeah. And DiBiase is doing his fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's
doing his oversells that are great.
Yeah, Big John Studd puts a clothesline on DiBiase that just looked hellacious. More hellacious because of DiBiase. It was great. He almost does a handstand while falling. It was pretty nice. So DiBiase doing DiBiase things. Yeah.
So it was a good ending. I don't know really about the finish, though. Big John Studd, all he did was throw him out. There was no, like...
No cool kinda, ending.
Yeah, cool move or anything like that. But, I mean, he just kind of grabs him and throws him out. And then we get a little weird moment that they didn't announce Big John Studd as the winner immediately. Guess who comes out? Virgil.
Virgil, yeah. He gets in the ring and tries to attack Big John Studd, and that was a mistake.
Well, and then the weird thing about it, though, is he threw Virgil over the top, and immediately after he threw Virgil over the top, then they announced him as the winner. So it was kind of one of those moments where was they treating Virgil like he was a new entrant? I mean, they already had 30 men, so I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it was just a little fun spot, but anyhow, so he raises his hands and they say he's the winner, and that's pretty much it. They don't really make a big deal. And as we were talking at the end of this, we're used to seeing from years and years of tradition, the Royal Rumble winner pointing at the WrestleMania banner after he wins, and you know, kind of you're moving on to WrestleMania and everything. And it doesn't. That doesn't seem to be the case back then.
It doesn't happen because as of right now, we still don't get – the winner still doesn't get a chance for the title. So I believe they mentioned earlier that it was a cash prize that they get. But still, our first 30-man Royal Rumble is won by Big John Studd. So we got Hacksaw winning the 20-man on the first one, and then first 30-man is won by Big John Studd. So I'm not going to go through the entire list, but Hogan had the most eliminations with 9.5. He had one where he worked together, so I give him a half. Nobody else had more than 1.5, other than Andre the Giant had 4 eliminations. So pretty much the only people to go more than just one full elimination was Andre the Giant, and then Hogan had the most, but did not win the match. Big John Studd had 2 at the end.
Okay, yeah.
So, Big John Studd had 2. Akeem had 2, actually, now that I look at it.
Wow.
Yeah, Akeem, because he body slammed Martel. He already had 1.5 before that, so.
Well, he helped eliminate Hogan.
That's right. So Keem had 2.5. Big John Studd had 2 as well by eliminating DiBiase and Akeem. But for the most part, everybody had about 1.
Okay, so that kind of concludes this. We get a little bit of a still shot, very 80s montage at the end of the show, just kind of highlighting the show with still shots of things that it matches that take place and moments and everything. And that's concludes the end of Royal Rumble.
Oh, I almost forgot to mention, if you watch like current Royal Rumbles, they normally go through a little bit of stats. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's still to this day, the number 27 entrant has won the Royal Rumble the most times. And in this Royal Rumble, guess what Big John Studd was?
Number 27.
The number 27 entrant. So it starts with this one. Obviously, there was no 27th entrant in the last Royal Rumble we watched because it was only 20 men. So the first 30 man, number 27, wins it.
Okay. So we'll have to keep track of that and see if how accurate that is. So I guess next thing we need to do is our little segments.
Yeah.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so best match of the night. I am definitely giving this to the 6-man tag match with Hacksaw the Jim Duggan, the Hart Foundation defeating Dino Bravo and the Fabulous Rougeaus. So I thought this match was really fun. I thought Bret Hart in this match really showcased why he is the excellence of executioner and he is such a legend. This was just a great match in a night that, to be honest, we didn't get a lot of matches. We get Royal Rumble, and I think we get just three matches. And unfortunately, the other two matches weren't very good at all. So, I think we had a very good Royal Rumble. I was happy to see the 30-man Royal Rumble as opposed to the 20-man. Still waiting to see the Royal Rumble winner mean more. But outside of that, when it comes to just the three matches we have to choose from, because as we know in this rule, we are not going to be able to choose the Royal Rumble as our favorite match because we think that would just be kind of ignorant to do.
Yeah.
We're just going to pick the best actual match of the show. And then the Royal Rumble is just, it's the Royal Rumble. So we're not going to treat that as a best match or worst match of the night. So I'm definitely going with the six-man tag. I think it's a clear-cut and easy winner in the show.
Can you choose the pose down?
Oh, I guess I could. Yeah, the pose down wasn't a match. So, I suppose.
The six-man was the best match. I did enjoy that pose down, though. I just want to say that. I actually enjoyed it mainly because I love Rick Rude. And it got to showcase Rick Rude's craziness. And we kind of got to laugh at Ultimate Warrior a little bit. He was just weird and everything. But, yeah, the six-man tag match, definitely the best match other than, of course, the Royal Rumble that we don't choose. But, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. It's the six-man match.
Yeah. So that was pretty painless and easy then.
Right.
Worst match of the night.
Okay, so the worst match of the night, I feel, is more of a toss-up. We had kind of two not really great matches, not bad matches.
It's not a toss-up for me.
I think it's a little bit of a toss-up. For me, I'm going to go with Rock and Robin defeating Judy Martin in the WWF Women's Championship match. And the reason I'm going to do this is because my personal opinion is there just was nothing there. The only thing that really entertained me in that match was Sensational Sherry on the microphone. The other match that I'm pretty positive you're going to pick, the other match at least had a couple fun spots in it just to give me a little entertainment. I know it was a sloppy match. It was a bad match, but for me, there was just absolutely no fun, I want to say fun spots, but great spots in the women's title match that really stood out to me. It was just kind of a very blah match that just didn't really, there was nothing to remember, nothing exciting in it. So I'm just going to stick with that match.
See, here's where you're wrong. The battle for the best terrible king is the winner of the worst match of the night. It was just such a sloppy, terrible match. Absolutely horrible. Neither one of them shined. Harley Race was just terribly flopping and overselling things and not in a good way. It was a terrible match. Yes, the women's match wasn't great either, but it wasn't as offensively bad. It just, was kind of boring. It just wasn't a good match, where the other match is just terrible.
Okay, well, agree to disagree, which, like I said, this was kind of one of the matches where it was just kind of a toss-up for me. I just didn't feel like they were both bad matches. I mean,
they really were.
One was just sloppy bad. The other one was just nothing going on bad. So it's just a matter of what you prefer here. So I guess that does it for our bad matches then.
Royal Rumble rankings.
Okay, so far we've only got two Royal Rumbles to choose from. And this is kind of a tough one because we only have two to choose from. I thought the Royal Rumble match itself was head over heels better. And then the six-man tag was really good. But the other matches sucked, and I'm trying to remember what all we got to see in the first Royal Rumble. But
we saw that stupid strongman thing by Dino Bravo.
I guess there was probably even less matches than the last one. Probably, I felt like as a Royal Rumble, this is definitely head over heels, the better one. But as a show in whole, I'm not sure if it is. But I guess I will give it to Royal Rumble 89 for now. We'll put them at number one and 88 at number two.
I'm probably going to do the same. The first Royal Rumble, it's unfair. It was a TV special, not a pay-per-view. But it's also worse than this one. This one, the Royal Rumble, is a lot more fun. It did have the one good match. Yes, it had bad matches on it as well. But I think with the Royal Rumble, you kind of have to really base it based on the Royal Rumble. Unless the matches are so bad, it overshadows how bad everything was. But yeah, I'm going to go Royal Rumble last. This episode, this Royal Rumble 1988 or 89. Sorry, this is the 89 Royal Rumble.
It's 89, yeah.
Yeah. Is better. It's number one right now. Not saying much. First one wasn't that great. So out of the two Rumble winners we have so far, which one do you like better? Which do you think earned it their spot better?
I guess, I mean, neither one of them lasted a long time. They both were kind of in there kind of late. I mean, Big John Studd was what, number 27 entrant, and when did Jim Duggan came in at 13 in his. So I guess he lasted a little longer. I actually thought Jim Duggan had a lot of better spots during his Rumble, but as an overall Rumble, I thought this was a more fun
Rumble. The Rumble was better
as a whole, the Rumble. But if you want to ask me about
asking about the winner,
I'm going to say Jim Duggan because I mean, he did like the 3-point stance tackle, elimination. Yeah, that was like stuff your favorite like that.
Elimination.
Yeah, that was a fun. Oh yeah, we didn't really.
Was there any elimination that you really enjoyed in this one?
Favorite elimination would have to probably go to Hogan when he took out the Warlord for showboating. Basically, I guess that would probably be the best elimination, or maybe even Jake the Snake Roberts and Damian.
That's my favorite.
Eliminating Andre the Giant.
Jake the Snake eliminating Andre.
That was probably the best elimination of the night. But as an overall show or for Rumble, I definitely think this Rumble was better. But Jim Duggan, I thought, was more fun to watch when he was in, where Big John Studd just kind of won it. I mean, he just,
yeah.
I don't know if Big John Studd did anything really amazing that was, he had a really good clothesline on Ted DiBiase where Ted DiBiase flopped the hell out of that.
But which
was amazing. It was really good. But I don't think really Big John Studd did anything too exciting for me to be like, oh, yeah, he was definitely better of a winner. So I'm going to give it to Hacksaw.
I agree. Duggan was the better winner. All those reasons. Because, I mean, the best parts of Big John Studd was because of DiBiase, not him. So,
yeah. Okay. So there we go.
All right, so where can the listeners contact you?
Oh, plug the pluggables, huh?
Plug the pluggables.
Okay, so they can find us on Facebook at The Rage and Blaze Show. They can find us on Instagram at The Rage and Blaze Show. They can find me on Twitter at Ricky Rayberg.
You can find me at Dragon Blazer Productions on the Facebooks, the YouTube, the Instagrams. And then on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro. And if you want to contact us on the Rage and Blaze Show, we also have an email address, rageandblaze@gmail.com. You can email us there if you have any questions. If you want to say anything, we'll talk about it on the show. Royal Rumble 1998.
1998, really?
Nope. You said that, not me.
We're not in the Attitude Era yet. No, Royal Rumble, January 15th, 1989, and it was a...
I just mixed the 9 and the 8.
It was just a decent show. I mean, I just don't think this show has blossomed to what we really want it to be yet.
Has any of them, though?
None of them.
WrestleMania 3, definitely, yeah. I do believe we have had a big deal WrestleMania at this point, but I don't think any of the shows that we've done other than WrestleMania really blossomed to what we're used to it being. But I think we'll get there. We will keep doing these shows. We will keep watching these. And I believe we will get there to where, I mean, this is the beginning, you know, they're just getting their footing on these shows at this point.
I know, but I'm just getting hungry. I'm ready. I'm ready for the big stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think the Royal Rumble gets more exciting when they start giving away title shots at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm so really, really excited to see when the first one of that is.
It was just kind of awkward for Bijan Studd to win it, and then that was the end. It was just, you're used to the big celebration, the fireworks, the pointing at the WrestleMania banner. We're just used to these moments that just make it a little bit extra special when the show's over. Yeah. And we just... You didn't get this with this. Heck, in the last Royal Rumble, Jim Duggan, he won the Royal Rumble, and there was another match afterwards, if you remember. There was a tag team match.
Yeah, that's right. At least this one, the Royal Rumble, was the main event.
Yeah, this was the, at least it ended the show.
You know, and I'm just kind of looking up here and looking at this logo that's on WWE Network for Royal Rumble 1989. And I'm enjoying, they have a bunch of silhouettes. For a bunch of wrestlers in the ring. I like it.
Yeah, and I believe they use the same logo, or at least the lettering. They use it, I think, through 95. I'd have to, you know, fact check that, but I think they use this for several years to come before the Attitude Era kind of starts kicking in and they start kind of changing things around. Yeah. All right, well, that is our show, and I am Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
Good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners and still podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Thank you for listening.